following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Well, good afternoon. As we begin our first one of many fireside chats, prompted by a variety of things, really. I think it started a few days ago, listening to Dennis Prager fireside chat, of course, playing off of those that FDR did during the war, World War II. And I had never seen any of his. I heard of him and had watched my first one a few days ago. And then yesterday, in the office, some of the pastors, we were talking after we had finished putting together all of our new format for Sunday with our live streaming. And we talked about the fireside chat idea again then. And then this morning I was at the gym with three other people. And I personally was listening to a message from Pastor Jimmy Harris at Grace Chapel. And just was really encouraged by the message. As many of you, I think, were this weekend from Pastor Greg Opin's message, but all over the land, I'm hearing from people saying, oh, you know, our pastor did this message, and it's great. You know, all these words of encouragement, comforting words from God's Word. And so this particular one I was listening to while at the gym this morning, it just brought comfort. It was the Word of God that does that. And so all of that combined inspired us just a few hours ago to put this together every day for you at noon, 15 minutes, just to stay connected, let you know we're here, that God's got this, and share little updates, and of course, bring encouragement from His Word, the Word of God. So that's what it's about, fireside chats. The candle, my wife's idea, I said, oh, you know, we don't have a fireplace or fire, so it'll be, you know, the fire, the Holy Spirit, you know, representing His presence. She said, why don't you add a candle to that too? So we are. And of course, have my hand sanitizer, very important. This right I'm doing right here, not good, but I just cleaned my hands, so I'm okay. But taking those things seriously for sure, got this scattered about, just doing our part, our due diligence. One of the things that came up in the message I listened to this morning was a quote from A.W. Tozer. Some of you have heard of him. Some of you have no idea who this guy is that uses his first two names by way of initials. But a great man of God in a previous century and always had some great quotes. And one that was shared on that message this morning was, "A scared world needs a fearless church." And that's us. We should be that fearless church. It's you, that's me, that's Refuge. It's the body of Christ at large to be a fearless church in this time. And Psalm 46 comes to mind, and a lot of other great passages, but for today, for our first fireside chat, Psalm 46, verse 1 and 2. And the psalmist says that God is our refuge and strength. You know this psalm and a lot of them have the word, a little notation, kind of a sidebar to Selah, to pause and reflect on this. And there's a few of those in this psalm, and that certainly is one place to pause and go, wow, God is our refuge and strength. Who's our refuge? Who's our strength? God. Pretty cool. A very present help in trouble. Very present. In other words, He's always there. He's always present, and He's always our helper, as Jesus described. But in times of trouble, it's very present, very noticeable, and probably because we're calling upon Him more so. This is key here in verse 2. Therefore, in other words, because of the fact that He's our refuge and strength, we won't fear. And so the fact that we say, let's be fearless, is not because we're psyching ourselves up to be brave, or not to say that we don't have moments of fear, but we don't need to fear because God's our refuge and strength. And so therefore, we'll choose not to be fearful. Keep in mind, when I say that, when we say that, when the Word of God says that, to be fearless, no fear, it doesn't mean that there's no prudence, no wisdom, no diligence. Those are still important. They don't contradict that. we want to be prudent. We want to be wise. We want to do our due diligence, but do that without fear, right? Without trepidation. A passage, and I've shared with a few of you last week, that really spoke to me with respect to this was in the Gospel of John chapter 7. And we see Jesus still at home, half-brothers there, not yet believers, by the way. I don't believe they're called out by name in that passage. It could have been James and Jude, authors of those two epistles. But nonetheless, half-brothers there, kind of in a mocking state, saying, "Hey, Jesus, why don't you head up to the Feast of Tabernacles, where they were going in most of Israel for this great feast every year. Head up to Jerusalem now for it. Make your splash. You know, you're the Messiah. You're the one." And Jesus said, no, you go now. It's your time, but it's not yet my time. To which I've often thought they probably looked at him like, "What? What are you talking about?" So anyway, the Bible goes on to tell us through that chapter that they went ahead and left and headed up to Jerusalem for the feast. But Jesus didn't. He delayed. But the text tells us that he eventually got there. But because it was not yet his time, as Jesus said, he meant it's not yet his time to be executed, as the prophet Daniel prophesied on a specific day, Passover, at a latter date, not this time and not this feast. Jesus would be hailed as Messiah and then executed on our behalf for our sins, Daniel again prophesied. So it wasn't his time. And so he's basically saying, "No, I'm not going to prematurely get myself in that kind of dangerous position." He was doing his due diligence. He was being wise. He was doing what he could do, but not resting in what he could do, just doing what he could do. The passage goes on to tell us that, I think by verse 30 of chapter 7, that when Jesus did get to Jerusalem eventually, he shared as he normally would. He ministered as he would have anyway. But at this time, at all the times for that matter, he raised the ire of a few folks who didn't like what he had to say, mostly the religious people, and they wanted, the Bible says, to apprehend him, to take him, and at that point, if they could have, to execute him, just to shut him up. And the Bible says there that they could not because Jesus' time had not yet come. And so, in other words, the providential hand of God was going to step in and protect Jesus from this happening when it shouldn't. So Jesus did his part, his due diligence, what he could do, but he rested in the providential hand of the Father. Great example for us, right? And a beautiful balance of those two in our Savior. So good for us to follow his example and to rest in not only the providential hand of God, but in the promised comfort, right? The comfort of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, as Jesus described him, and the comfort from his word. So important for you and I as we hear the news, which is fine, we need to be up to date, but if we just fill with just that, we focus on that, if we dwell on that, it's going to mess with us, right? And our tendency is just to focus on the bad. It's just how we are. That's why bad news sells. And so because of that, the Apostle Paul, by way of the Holy Spirit, said in Philippians, "Hey, dwell on what's true and right and pure and lovely. Think on these things. Meditate on these things." Which isn't to say you ignore the other, but you don't ponder, you don't dwell on it. You don't stew over it. You dwell on those things from God's word that are true and right and pure and lovely. Great promises. Psalms 46 and Joshua 1:8 and on and on and on. Great passages. Ones that come to your mind. Think about those. Recite them out loud. Listen to messages about them. Share them with others. For sure, and experience that kind of comfort. And when you do that, you're feeding your spirit. You're encouraging yourself by doing that, and that'll keep you from getting anxious, because that anxiety leads to fear. And once you get in that fear mode, and I know we're all tempted to do that, but you get in that fear mode. What if I run out of toilet paper? You get in the fear mode, and you become very self-absorbed at that point of time, right? And so that's not good, because perfect love casts out all fear. And so the Lord, of course, is our perfect love. He loves us so much. And when we want to show that love to others, it keeps us from getting self-absorbed. And so all of that working together. So another encouragement there for you as well. So what... what the future holds, I certainly don't know. But I know who holds the future for me, for sure, right? And for you. So I take great comfort in that. But in the meantime, which by the way, in the meantime, that was the title of the message from Pastor Greg over the weekend. So if you didn't catch that, please listen to that. We've got that archived. It's already uploaded, again, called In the Meantime. But the goal of church, and not that live streaming is new, but I guess in overall church history is new, we're going to do as much as we can, like we're doing right now, live streaming our services Wednesday night, this coming Wednesday night in Genesis. Pastor Jonathan will take us through our next couple chapters and tie that into the times, of course. But live streaming that. And then the weekend services, it could be up to 8 weeks that we do this. We'll keep you posted, but it's looking like that's the case. And that's fine. You know, God can work with what's going on. He's not limited. He's not scratching his head going, oh, what am I going to do? He's got this, right? So it's different for us. We'll adapt, but the Lord's going to use it. It's going to be good. People are meeting in homes much more. It's great. What a great result of this. So watching the live streams together for sure is a great thing. And then we're going to try to add as many of the services that we can on top of the Wednesday and the weekend services. So we will try to provide that for the women's study if we can and the men's study and other events that we won't be able to do anymore because they just logistically we can't pull it off with the limitations of the social distancing of 6 feet and maximum of 50 in a group gathering. That's all right. You gather in your homes and we'll stream as much as we can for you. And you've got this. You've got this. You've got the Word of God. You've got each other to encourage one another. And so that's kind of the old school meeting the new school and doing church outside these walls, right? Also, Pastor Bill is working on an idea, and we've been communicating during his time. He's still in Israel, by the way, and they're safe. They're doing well. They're getting about a lot quicker because there's not many people on the trails and the sites that they're at. Anyway, we're in communication with him, Pastor Jeff and myself, and he's got an idea that we're working through right now on some kind of like drive-through prayer vision that he has. Maybe tying into the drive-through testing that is being made available or starting to be made available. So we'll let you know what that looks like as we just go day by day. And things are certainly changing day by day, right? This is something that is not static. And maybe that's good. Keeps us seeking daily bread, which was also part of the weekend message. So we will do that, but we'll keep you posted on that. So again, this being the first of many fireside chats, complete with a sanitizer. Tomorrow, again, at noon, for fireside chat number two, we'll start bringing in by Wednesday some of the other pastors. We'll have one or two of us sharing for the 15-minute period. And then when Pastor Bill gets back, of course, we'll be a key part of that. So let's pray and let's remember, not by design, but just happened to grab this coffee cup. Help. The Lord is our present help in times of trouble. Amen. Let's pray. Mm-hmm. Father, thank you for the promises of your word. And Lord, you spoke the world into existence. So when you speak, Lord, we need to listen and be encouraged by words of life, as Peter described the words. Lord, we have words of life from you. And they are constant. They are firm. They are static. That's unchanging, Lord. You are unchanging. And you've got us. So we rest in that, Lord. Use us as purveyors of hope and wisdom at the same time. And just encourage your people, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. See you tomorrow.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.